Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
But the joy that the Bible talks about is not this superficial joy. It's a joy that is a deeper joy that is not based upon circumstances in my life that can shift and change, but it's a joy that's based on the relationship that I have with God, which never shifts and never changes.
Being happy and being joyful are not the same thing. Joy, true joy, stays no matter the circumstances. God wants us to have that deep down joy, and a relationship with Him is the only way we can get it. If you do not know the living God today, there is nothing that can keep you from inviting Him to be your Savior, your help, your best friend today. With 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we do want to thank you again, the opportunity that we have gathering together here in your name. And we pray that the love that you have for us would abound more and more, that the relationships that we are developing now would be lasting relationships within our lives. We understand that if we are to demonstrate the love that we have for you, it will be in demonstrating love to one another and to those who are around us. We are so ready to follow what you tell us in your word. We want to live the life that you have planned for us. We want to experience life as you have designed it. We pray now as we take time to study the book of 1 John that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us through this study. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It was about 3 weeks ago or so that we started our study in the book of 1 John. And you may remember that we covered the entire first chapter. But after I was done, there were a couple of different thoughts that I don't know that we really developed as well as I wanted to develop them. And so as much as I kept trying to get to chapter 2 and begin to look at some of the concepts there to teach on, I kept coming back to chapter 1 again. And so we're going to take the next 2 weeks and we're going to look back at chapter 1, developing the first 4 verses today and then the remainder of the verses next week. I really believe that there's some things here that God wants us to get a hold of for the new year. One of those things is that we would live life as God intended us to live. I don't know how long ago is ago now. I remember Jessica and David were just babies. And my wife got a conversion van. We went out and we bought her this conversion van. And it was the absolute worst vehicle that I have ever owned in my entire life. It was a lemon. It broke down all the time. It was miserable. At about 30,000 miles, the radiator just blew up. It just, completely and totally destroyed. And I took it down to the dealer. The dealer looked at it and said, well, this isn't under warranty. And I said, okay, why isn't it under warranty? And he said, well, in the manual, the owner's manual, it says that you're supposed to flush it every 24,000 miles. It has about 30 on it now. It's supposed to be flushed every 24,000 miles. So we're not going to cover it. And well, how much is it going to be? And it was, $700. And it was like a heart attack for me. $700 for a radiator? What is it, made out of gold? Kind of thing. I went home that night and I thought, well, I better read through the book. I better, go out and, do whatever else I need to do to it. So if anything breaks down, I've done the maintenance that they suggest to do it. So I got out the owner's manual and I looked up in the, front where it said radiator. I looked at the page and I went to it and it was suggested that it was to be flushed every 40,000 miles. The very next morning, I was back at the service department, book in hand. And I showed him what was suggested by them, still 10,000 miles off. And suddenly he had a change of mind. Suddenly he said, all right, we're going to cover the radiator. And they covered the cost of the radiator. But here's the truth. Those that produce the car ought to know best about what that car needs. And if you want to make the best out of your car, you buy a new car, you want to maintain it, you want the best out of that car, then you go to the owner's manual. Well, you and I, thankfully, weren't made by car companies. We were made by the living God, who made us as individuals with unique different characters, who made us with similarities, but also unique individual aspects. And God has given us the owner's manual in the Word of God that we would be able to get the most out of life that we possibly can. And I am persuaded that that's God's desire for everyone who is in here. God wants you to be able to get the most out of your life. He wants you to live life as He intended. And that's why I wanted to return to these verses, but specifically look at verse 4. It says, "And these things we write to you." That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." God's desire is that your joy may be full. See, now, when the Bible talks about joy, and we're going to look at a few verses here that tell us about the joy that God wants us to have, but when the Bible talks about joy, it is not talking about a superficial joy or a happiness that is based on circumstances. Anything could happen. Something could happen tonight that would cause everybody in here to be happy. There could be something in your own life that would just cause you to be happy, but just as quick as that, something else could happen that would make it absolutely miserable. Maybe you come to church, having some trouble paying your rent. And so you come in and you just let me know, pray for me because I'm having trouble paying my your rent. And wow, I just happened to have a few hundred dollars laying around I don't know what to do with. That never happens, does it? But let's just say I did. And I said, I want to write you a check. So I got out and I wrote you a check to cover your rent. All of a sudden, you'd say, praise God, God's met my needs. You would be lifted up, come to church kind of bummed out. Now you'd be lifted up until you got to the bank and tried to cash my check. Then you'd be bummed out again. Happiness, what I call superficial joy, bounces around based on circumstances. And it can change in a moment. It can change in a heartbeat. You get a brand new car, you drive down the road, you're as happy as can be. You stop at Safeway and you go in, you come out and somebody let a cart go and now there's a ding in your brand new car. And all that joy that you had is now ruined because there is a scratch. And Murphy's Law, it's an amazing thing. You get a new vehicle and the first day you have it, something is going to happen to that thing. But the joy that the Bible talks about is not this superficial joy. It's a joy that is a deeper joy that is not based upon circumstances in my life that can shift and change, but it's a joy that's based on the relationship that I have with God, which never shifts and never changes. When my relationship with God is right and things are right between me and my God, superficial things can go wrong, but no one is able to steal the joy that I have. As we talk about the Christian life in the book of 1 John, as we take time over the next few weeks to talk about it, we are not talking about superficial religion. We're not talking about superficial aspects of denominations or superficial aspects of us gathering together in a church body. We are talking about those things that reach deep down into our lives, that we would live life as God intended it, and there really is a joy. Think about the day that Jesus was born, and the angels appeared before the shepherds, and they said, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." At His birth, joy to the world, not just joy to those who were there, but joy to the world. The Lord has come. And it told us that a Savior would be born that would take away our sins. Jesus said that He told us certain things that my joy, these are the words of Jesus, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. He told us things about ourselves and how we're to live so that His joy would be in us and stay in us, and that our joy might be full. Jesus even told us in John chapter 15 that if we would abide in Him and if He would abide in us, that our joy would be full. God's desire is that we would have that deep down joy that can only come from abiding with Jesus, that can only come out of a relationship with the living God. I took some time this week to look up a few other things. I saw that the Bible uses the term peace for us personally often. Now, you remember that Jesus said of this world, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Meaning that when you really get serious about Jesus, when you decide that you're going to give your life to God, you're going to live for Him no matter what, that a lot of times it causes friction in your life. There are people who don't like it. They don't like the fact that you've decided to get saved. And it's when I first came back to the Lord, I had met the Lord as an early teenager and I backslid and I came back to the Lord. A friend of mine who had been involved in drugs, had been involved in a lot of different things, got saved. In fact, he was one of the reasons that I came back. I had had a desire to come back to the Lord and was really struggling to do so. And he called me up. This is one of my cruise buddies during my backslidden time. And he called me up. It's Friday night. You got to go to church with me tonight. What? You got to go to church. I got saved. And he had no idea that I knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, I was in the park and these people came up to me and they talked with me and I invited Jesus into my life and you got to go do the same thing. I went to church with him there that night and it was there that I rededicated my life to the Lord and had no idea where God would take me or what God would do in my life. But this was such a radical change in this guy that he went home, he took all of his hardcore, you know, acid rock kind of music and he burned them in a barbecue pit outside. And he took all of his bongs, which he had lined all around his room, and he took them out and he burned them in the barbecue pit. His mother calls me up the next day and she says, I don't know what to do. He's gone off the deep end. I said, what's going on? What's happening? She said, he's burned all of his albums. He's gotten rid of all of his bongs. Now, most often you would think that parents would be happy for that. But then she said, all he does is talk about Jesus. There was such a radical change within him that it caused friction in his life with his parents. And you would think with all the things that he was involved in, and this was a radical kind of a guy, you would think that they would be happy that he made a commitment to the Lord, but they were scared to death that he had made that commitment to Christ. However, when it comes to your personal peace, Jesus had a lot to say about that. First of all, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. If there's anybody that can settle you down, take care of the storm within and give you peace, wouldn't it be the Prince of Peace? Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I to you. The world cannot give you the peace that Jesus brings into our lives. Philippians tells us that with everything, with prayer and supplication, we are to let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. God not only wants us to have this deep down joy that cannot be shaken no matter what happens, but He wants us to be at peace. I think of the Bible talking about freedom. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Sin is such a binding thing. When you first begin down the road of some sin, you think, you know what? I can control this completely. I will have no problem with this. And almost all of us here know what it's like to be bound to some kind of sin. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he who has the Son has been set free and is free indeed. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. The Galatians were once again being drawn back into religion, drawn back into certain rituals in order to be right with God. And Paul is so upset because he has brought them into a relationship with Jesus to find freedom. And he says, it's for freedom that you have been set free. God wants us to be joyful. God wants us to be free. God wants us to have the peace that He wants to bring in our lives. I think of the term blessed. You are blessed because Jesus took the curse upon the cross. You know, there's this popular false teaching out there today. Maybe some of you have heard it where, you know, generational curses. Have you heard about that? Well, you know, if your parents were involved in something, if they were involved in witchcraft, then you could have a curse of witchcraft in your life. If they were an alcoholic, you could have the curse of alcoholism in your life. If they were a thief, you could have the curse of theft in your life. And they try to carry these curses down. Listen, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ into your life, I don't care if you were cursed or not. You are no longer cursed. The curses are broken because the blood of Jesus Christ breaks all curses. And now you are not a cursed individual, you are a blessed individual. Jesus, so much so, that the very first teaching, and think about this in the book of Matthew, that Jesus began to give, the very first thing we hear Jesus say is repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. He first of all teaches the gospel of repentance, but when he gets into a teaching, the first thing that he says is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And he goes through what you and I know as the Beatitudes, because the Lord's desire is that we would be blessed. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about blessings, but I'm not talking about everything going awesome all the time. The life of Christianity is a very real battle that takes place. There's a cause that we are all called to, but God's desire is that we would discover freedom, real peace, real joy. And when we discover these things, our lives suddenly take on what God has for us. That's what the book of 1 John is all about. There were these false teachings that were starting. Gnosticism was in its infanthood at this time. And these false teachings were beginning to come up and develop. And we can tell that John is frustrated by it. John wants to show us what the truth is so that we will not be persuaded by these other things that are out there. Have you ever had anybody say to you, you know, there are millions of different beliefs out there. How do you know you have the right one? John writes these things. At the end of the book, he says, the beginning, he says, I'm writing these things that your joy may be full. At the end of these things, he says, I'm writing you these things that you might know that you have eternal life. That we would know that we are serving him in what is right, the right way that God desires us to go. It's so in John 1, verse 1, let's come back and look at it. He says, that which was from the beginning, there were all of these new groups breaking off of what was Christianity in its infanthood. Christianity had just been formed, but yet there were these new groups breaking off of Christianity. They were new. People will always come up with things that are new. New is exciting. So they're always trying to come up with, you know, I was in my room and God came to me and spoke to me and he brought me something new. I want to teach you something new today. You guys need to know you'll never hear that here, because I believe that if it is new, it is not true. And if it is true, it's not new. What we want is that which is in the beginning. The very first thing that John says, that's what I want to know. I want a life long-lasting truth. I want to know what the truth was, because it is that which will set me free. And so John, rather than saying, I got something new for you guys, hold on, fasten your seatbelts. I was in my room praying and I suddenly heard the sandals of Jesus walking down my hallway. Flip, flop, flip, flop, flip, flop. And then Jesus came in and he talked to me and he gave me a new revelation. I don't believe when someone says, I don't believe them. There was a time when I did. There was a time I was a little less skeptical towards those things, but I don't believe it. And one of the reasons is my own experiences. One of the reasons that I don't believe them is because I've heard what they've said so many times, and it's contrary to the Word of God. But then also Galatians says, if anybody comes to you teaching you anything other than what you have already heard, let them be cursed. Paul went on to say, even if an angel appears to you, or we ourselves were to tell you something that is different than what you have already heard, then let them be accursed. So that this is the foundation. So that in the beginning, he says, that which was from the beginning. That's what we are interested in, which we have heard. And now he says, I heard it. Now this is a first person testimony. It is the Apostle John. The one whom, when he referred to Jesus, referring to him, was the one that Jesus loved. He would say, and the one that Jesus loved. John had a personal relationship with Jesus. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Three things. He says, I heard his words. He heard the lips of Jesus speak the teachings, and he listened to them. And John heard them. And so the things that he's going to write to us in this book come from first-hand information. It's not hearsay. It's what he actually heard, and he brings it to us. He then says, and my eye saw it. Not only did I hear it, it was John that was brought into that little girl that was dead. You remember? John, James, and Peter. When Jesus took that little girl who had died by the hand and said, Tabitha Kumi, little girl, arise. And she came up out of that bed. It was Peter, James, and John that had gone up on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Jesus transformed in front of their eyes until his robe was brighter than any launderer could make it, it said. And Jesus began to talk with Moses and began to talk with Elijah. And there was Peter who didn't know what to say, the Bible says. So he said, it's good for us to be here. That's the no duh category, by the way. No duh. And he says, let's build three tabernacles. And God interrupts Peter and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. John had seen that. John had seen all of those things and even Jesus after he was risen from the dead. These are firsthand accounts. Ears that have heard, eyes that have seen, and hands which have handled. He would come up to Jesus and he would put his hand on his shoulder. Jesus would put his hand on John's shoulder. Whatever their greeting was of that day, giving each other a kiss on the cheek like Europeans do today. We Americans, we don't do those kind of things. But Europeans still do it to this day, at least in some places. He says, I handled him. Now, one of the reasons that this is important is because Gnosticism, which John addresses this a lot, Gnosticism says that Jesus didn't really have a body. Then there were all kinds of mystical things that they said about him, that he could walk down the beach without leaving any footprints in the sand. Because see, according to Gnosticism, the body was separate from the spirit. What really mattered was your spirit. And so John says, this isn't true. I handled him. He was physical. Later on, he's going to say, everyone who says Jesus didn't come in the flesh is Antichrist. Those are pretty strong words, in case you miss it. He's saying anybody that's saying Jesus didn't have a body and didn't come in the flesh is Antichrist. So he rebukes this concept of Gnosticism that Jesus didn't have a body and was totally and completely a spiritual being. He goes on to say then, eyes, ears, handled with our hands, concerning the word of life. These are the things that we heard, we saw, we touched concerning the word of life. Now, what's the word of life? Well, let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. And you'll immediately see a similarity between 1 John and John. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If ever anybody knocks on your door and says, the Bible never says that Jesus was God, take them to John 1. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who was? The Word that was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing that was made had been made. In him was life. See the similarities? The Word of life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And light shined in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Then jump down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Concerning the Word of life, then, back in 1 John chapter 1, would be Jesus himself, who is the Word of life.
We hope that practical Christian living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of practical Christian living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson,
PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.